live on this earth. A good fight is not we accumulate so much assets on this earth. It's not a good fight that how many homes can we purchase on this earth. It's not a good fight what can we do that we live this earth. A good fight is what? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 say this. For we have not wrestled against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The fight that we fight today is an invisible fight. A fight today that we need somehow that increase our spirituality. A fight that we know that we need to reach heaven. A fight that we have to build our character for that. That's the fight we need to fight. And so many times in our education, we have a fight, a wrong fight. I'm not saying that education is important. We need to learn as much as we can. But what about the spiritual life? Have we learned much enough to fight a good fight? What is a good fight? Go with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. Say this. When Paul said this to the Corinthians church, said, to the Jews, I became the Jews, that I might win the Jews. That's the fight. Everywhere that Paul go, he said, I have a fight to win soul. How can I win soul? How can I help make influence to other people? It doesn't matter. Either I'm a pastor or lay people or student, you have someone that you want to win to Christ. Now, Mrs. Min here, wherever she goes, she sees someone that needs to be won to Christ. Now, when you walk on the street, walk into the college campus or even high school or even workplace, what do you see? You see people. But Paul said, you got to see lost soul. You got to see lost soul. So Miss Min, when she came to this very church, she go out witnessing, and she see a young boy just only 11 years old. And she see something about that young boy that have a love for God, and she said, you know what, I will do anything to win that boy for Christ. Later on, you know that boy will bring that whole family to the church. Later, do you know that boy, little boy brings so many friends to the church, to this Monday church? His name is John Wun. But Miss Min saw that in that young boy. Where many people say, oh, just a little kid, you come to church. No. There's a soul. And so that's why Min saw that in that John. The next verse 22, I want to read on this. And to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might be all mean to save some. To save some. Yes, as we go out to share the gospel. Yes, as we go out to live a life that God wants us to reflect His character. Not everyone come to Christ, but he said, to some might come to Christ. And so if we don't fight a good fight, no one will come to Christ. But we have to give our best. And someone will. I remember in Vietnam some years ago, that evangelist came to Vietnam to say, let Bua do a big evangelistic meeting. Cost $1,000. After so many months, they only bring one person baptized. And people ask him, is that a failure evangelistic meeting? I say, one soul is one soul. 10 years later, that one young man went to college, became a teacher for Adventist school. He saw develop many young people. He married to another Adventist lady, and he won thousands of people. Do not believe just one, because that one will bring many. And so to Paul, even though people might criticize him, but he said, I will step down low enough to be able to mingle with every people. And so Mrs. Min, when she go visit, as I go visit with her, So he dressed very common. Common, and so she can come to the home and the share. So bring food, she share the health message, and she do everything to bring that soul. You know, is she undereducated? No. Before 1975, when she flew to Philippines to get a bachelor in nutrition, is not easy. Back then, in Vietnam, some of you might know, not too many people get a chance to get a good education. She not only that, she stayed there to get her master, I think bachelor in nursing and master in nutrition. I did not know that until the funeral when they shared that with me. And so, very educated lady, but she never tell anyone about it. Even myself, I didn't know about it. But she humble to share everything she know. She humble to the point to save anyone that she come in contact with. I remember one day that I was sitting in my office. And by the way, she and her husband live on this campus at that time in that printing room. If you know printing room, they have very old machine, dirty. You probably don't know much about it, but I have been work day and night in that printing room to print a lot of material. Anyway, as we work there, and it's really rainy day. It's really rain, you know. And I asked her, you know, what do you do? You get on the car, drive somewhere. Oh, no, I got to go because there's some young person want a Bible study. So I want to go there and pick him up and drive to the church to have Bible study. And his name is Le Bakan. I don't know, some of you know, a young man who was come here. And so when she go there, she pick up that young man. When you know when a person first come in Vietnam, a young boy don't have many money, you can imagine buy a very old bicycle, drive right in the rain, and as she have an old car too, she put her bike on top of her car, tied it, and bring back to church. And I asked this young man, how do you know this church number to call? Well, this lady, Ms. Min, she go out and pass literature. Okay? And he read the material. He found the phone number. She called her. You know, can you give me Bible study? So do not underestimate literature, by the way. Matter of fact, literature saved my life as well. And so she brought that young man come here. And so people did not know it. She do everything, even during the rainy day, to go out and pick up someone to give Bible study. Sometimes say, oh, rain is not a good day to pass out glow. Maybe materials get wet. I don't know, I understand about wet or not. You know, when I was a paper boy, young, I ride bicycle, you know. You might not know the term bubble boy, paper boy. I ride a bicycle and I throw newspaper, you know. That's how I practiced throwing, you know. And I'm pretty good at it. Sometimes I throw in the roof, sometimes I throw in the water. But after a while, you get thrown right next to the door. But the rainy day, can I say, no, the rain, I cannot go? No, I still have to wake up early. I buy some plastic, put around the paper, and I throw it. You still can deliver the message, even the rainy day. And so my friend, she did this. She shared the Bible study and take him home every single week. Oh, by the way, now you remember Khan, Leba Khan, very well. It's only a few people know, very first 20 years ago, you know, this young boy come to the United States, and he learned about the Bible. And so the first point I'm trying to share with you is fight a good fight. A good fight is what? Is to humble yourself that to the point that you can come in touch with someone to bring them to Christ. That's what Paul tried to say to Timothy. You got to keep fighting. Do not give up. Do not give up. You know, when you knock on doors, every seven, or this according to real estate, they said that every seven no, there's one yes. You know, so every no, you come close to a yes. So it'll help you continue going. Keep on going. The second point is this. That what did she do? She finished the race. I don't know what it means by finish the race. Some of you may be still running a race. But how's your race doing? How's your race? In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24, Turn with me in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24. 20, verse 24 said this, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul pushed on, continued, when every time he win up was so, he'd be so joyful. He continued run the race. As long as you still breathe, you're still on the race. As long as you still breathe, you're still running the race. It's so important that people say, you know, pastors, I'm soon to be retired. And I say, good, you have more time for the Lord. Oh, no, retire completely, you know, so I can travel. And you know what? When Paul would say this, we have to continue. When the time we have, let dedicate to the Lord. How many of you remember Mr. Richard Hogan? Mr. Hogan is a dear, dear friend of mine. When I visit him in the hospital, the end of his life, and he have a brain tumor, and sometimes he speak, I cannot understand very well. But he never give up to share the gospel. He always have some tract in his pocket. I visit him. Every nurse visit him. He bring out the tract and share. You know, can I read this? Watch it. What's written? Go on this website. Do this. Every single minute I saw him keep doing that. He never stopped. Never stop. You talk retire? He retired a long time ago, but he's still sharing. That's a wonderful time that we need to share. We have run the race, and we need to continue to share until the very ending. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what Paul said. When you finish the race, what happened? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says this, verse 25. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. "And everyone who compete for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." That means many people, we run a race. We want to achieve a gold medal in this world. I don't know how many people you see that people receive gold medal. I mean, so exciting on TV. After a year, you interview with them. What do you think about it? Yeah, that's good. That's a good memory. After that, what happened? I rather receive a gold medal in heaven. A gold medal for eternal life. Verse 26. "Therefore I am running thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beat the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." That's just a good lesson. Not only work hard and discipline yourself. You know, you're running, you know, Tim. You got to discipline. You know, I don't know, when getting older, I don't lack discipline like when I was young. But continue. You got to discipline. Matter of fact, I'm getting back on track right now. You know, I discipline myself every morning, 5:30. Got to go out and go for a walk. Every Friday, you got to go hike on the mountain. You got to do it. You got to do it. And so joyful that you improve your health, because if you want to win soul, you got to be healthy. You know that? If you want to win race, you got to be healthy. And so here, Miss Min, she committed every single day, morning, to sit down and translate. You got to work. People say, you know, how can you translate a whole book, you know, 600-page book? You know, one page at a time. One page at a time, right? So what we do one step at a time. One step at a time. In my evangelistic school that I teach the students, they say, you know what? You have to commit yourself to memorize Bible texts. So I give them about 4 or 5 Bible texts every week. I say, Pastor Vin, that's too much. How can you memorize that? All the students complain, but you know what? One step at a time. One verse at a time. One word at a time. And so I tell them, just write it down. Put it on a refrigerator. Put it on the dashboard. Put it in your work. You keep looking at it, and repeat it. Guess what? You remember. After a few months, I test all the students, and all of them know so many Bible texts. And they was complaining, but now they're able to commit their memory so many Bible texts. So you myself, when I go for a walk with my wife, commit to memory these Bible texts. Okay? When I'm driving, you know, I told people, you know, I don't have time for a walk. They say, what? You record yourself on the phone and keep playing over and over. Guess what? You don't waste time. You keep listening. The more you listen, the more you commit to memory. How about when you go to sleep? Just play it. And so I share with people, just commit to memory. And so we have to discipline ourselves if we want to finish a good race. So keeping your faith, so make sure you did not qualify. We not only work to save soul, but we also work to save our soul. I cannot waste my health to save someone else. And I cut short of my life. You know, when I was in the hospital with my heart problem, I thought about James White. And anyways, why I say that, if James be careful how to lay the plan to so for soul winning, he could live longer and he could have win more souls. So I tell God, Lord, help me the discipline to take care of my health so I can live up to 100 to win more soul for you. God glad to do that for you if you discipline. And so when Miss Min, she committed, I could not believe it. When I asked her to do this and do that, she continued to do it. Every day she go out and visit. Every week she have Bible study. Every Sunday to give our English ESL class. She have done more than any retired people in the church in Orlando. Amazing, this lady. Everything she have, she give to the Lord. I visit her home. I tried to clean up her house. Very old. And she didn't have time to clean, so getting very dirty. But every room I visit, there's books and books and books everywhere. And that's treasure to me. I go through those books. I find some good book, and I bring home with me. You told my wife I collect too many books, by the way. I collect a book from Pastor Lihu, who passed away. I drove up to Sacramento with a U-Haul to bring all the book. And I took some book from Ms. Min and Pastor Tan. And some of the book that I never see is printed. It's written for so many years, but no one printed. I have several books. I say, you know what? I'm going to type this up. At that time, with it written in my hand, I want to type this up, and I'm going to work on it and make sure this book will print. Amazing. Everything, every day, she work on it, until she passed away. To me, she ran a good race. Not waste any time. Not waste any money for leisure or unimportant thing of this world. Make sure she devoted money into the Lord's work. I remember when I was young, I called her, can you help sponsor some young person go to college to learn theology? She glad to help, and she helped several students. She buy book and translate to the point that she translates some book and she put out her money to print it, and she stand in and the back of the church to announce it. You know what? I have a book to give you free. And many people walk by and say, oh, no, thank you. But she put a smile on her face. That's fine. Can you imagine? I don't know how many people want to translate book and have some book out and pass out to people. And when you give people and they just want to pass by, I don't want it. Have you ever faced that? Or even pass out clothes and say, no, I don't want it? I pass out some stuff. So much in my heart poured into that. My money, my sweat and tear into material. And I pass out and they don't accept it. And if they accept it, I see they accept it and they walk to the trash can and throw it into the trash can. It's hurt. I have to take out the trash can and wipe up the dust so I can give out to the next person. I'm telling you, literature is so important. I just mentioned about that. It wasn't for her and her husband in San Jose who pass out flyer to attend evangelistic meeting. As a young man, I think I was 26, 27, I grabbed this piece of flyer, very interesting, all these bees, you know, and I attend those seminar, and I couldn't have enough for 3 months. I go back to the same seminar again for 3 months. You know who conducted it? It's not a pastor. It's a family doctor decided to rent a hall for 3 months, willing to give a Bible study for anyone who would want to come. And I was one of them. If it wasn't for this couple, Pastor Tan and Gumin, to give that material to me, I would not have come back to the Adventist church. Because back then I was a backslider. That's literature so important. So important. And so she continued doing that, continued to share material until the last day of her life. That means she continued to run until her last breath. The third point, keeping the faith. We cannot just say that we believe, but with our action. You know, the Bible says that when you say we know God, you know what is know God? It's not to know about God, but know God. If we do something for God, for our brother and sister, that means you know God. Remember, the last teaching of Jesus Christ before he goes to the cross, in the book of Matthew especially, and you remember the book of Matthew chapter 25, before go to the cross, and the three teaching that Jesus taught, okay? But the very last teaching is talking about, do you love your enemy? Do you feed to the poor? Do you help the naked? All that? And other people say, yes, I do all that for you, Lord. You know, that one group, they say, one group say, I do for the Lord. Other groups say, I do for the Lord. But God distinguished the left group and the right group. Other groups say, yes, I did this for the Lord. I in your name, and I even cast out serpent. I do your name, I able to do all this and that. And God say that, I never knew you. Why? So in other words, many people today profess that they know God, but they don't really know God. Another group say God, and say, you know, you visit the poor, visit the sick, and you visit me and all that. And other groups say, God, I never visit you. I didn't do all this for you. And Jesus say, when you do for the least of thee, you have done for me. That's the very last teaching before Jesus left this earth. If that last teaching is important to Jesus, it's also important to me. And so Miss Min here, the last part is she do everything. Whatever she taught, she will follow. She'll follow. She shared about the health message. She lived the health message. She shared about the spirit prophecy. She lived the spirit prophecy. If you see her, you probably understand why I'm saying that. She eat very simple. A lot of raw food. She grow her own food. She eat from her garden. She work in the garden day after day. She wear very simple clothes. If you never see any white or picture, but you read something about it, you might thought she looked like Angie White. She wear a big gown dress. She very simple, no makeup, no nothing. She's a simple lady, and her heart two thing is health message and know the spirit prophecy. And so those things that I ask you, you know, it's in your heart into those two things, you need to translate much more. And she commit her life into that. The last section I want to share with you, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight. That's what Paul said. The fight of faith. Laid hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Eyewitnesses come in life. And I confess, she kept her faith to the very end. I ask myself, am I able to keep my faith the end of my life? Do I give all what I have in this race to save a soul for God? Do I discipline myself in this very race? Or have I give up along the way? That I spend my time with the Lord, that I make sure when I save others, I do not forget myself and my family. The legacy of a missionary. You know that everyone is a missionary. You know that, right? Missionaries not go over the other country to win soul. We are missionary in our own town, in our family. A missionary is always look out for someone that who not know about God that you need to share. A missionary who devoted time to grow their life spiritually and help others to grow as well. And as Kumin have leave the legacy of being a missionary, I want to share with you a few thoughts about it. When I was in seminary, and people introduced me to Ellen G. White writing. And I said, you know what? I don't come to seminary to learn about another person talking about Christ. I want to learn about Christ. I want to learn about the Bible. And I asked some of the students there, I said, you know, you guys keep talking about Ellen G. White all the time. I'm not sure I believe her, but tell me, what is the greatest book she ever wrote? Tell me. I will try to read and find out if this lady is truly from God or not. What book, you know, they asked me to read? The Great Controversy. I don't want to buy the book. You know, I don't want to waste $10, you know. You know, student is very poor. $10 is a lot for me. I can buy, you know, 10 bag of a potato, you know that? I mean, if you go on sale, $1 per bag of potato. But anyway, $10, a little too much money. I go to the library, check it out. And after 3 weeks later, I haven't read it, but I have to bring back into the library because I don't want to get any fine. So, but the Holy Spirit said, you know, you cannot judge the writing unless you read it. Anyway, I check out again, and I decide not to read it. And bring back again, until the third time, I say, Lord, okay, I'm going to try to read it. I could not believe that's very summer 1994. I read the whole book through. I say, this book is something amazing. And I say, you know what? How could a third grade education write this book like this? And I say, you know what? I want to test out some more. So I decided to find another book, and I read The Desire of Age. And I'm glad The Desire of Age, the very bottom of every chapter, say this, get out from a certain passage in the Bible. So I make sure I went to PMC, which is Pioneer Memorial Church there. The church always open. I go in there, I pray, I kneel down, I say, God, I cannot pray. I got to pray before I read this book. So I read the Bible, then I pray, then I read The Desire of Age. After I finish, I say, man, that's good. But I'm not so sure. I say, Lord, if a message from you, help me to receive it. If not, help me to forget everything I read. I finished the reserve age. I said, amazing, this lady so come close to God so much. Not only she, but she bring me closer to God. And so I read a few more of the book. And I say, you know what? For me to accept this lady a prophetess is hard for me. And so one last chance I read her work is I decided to know her life. I decided to go to the bottom of the library, and that's called the Wyatt Estate, all the material, and I find her diary. And that time, diary is never published. I read her page of diary, page after page, page after page. If you really want to know a person's life, you got to read the diary. I read so much, and I say, man, this lady, her heart's so in tune with God. She always called people to give money to missionary. She always put our saving to buy a new property for the church. And I read somewhere that they say in her home there's never have two chairs look the same. I don't know about that, but I know what it means, because when I go out and buy old chairs, old table, you know, all of them never have the same, right? You buy this chair, that chair. And so another, she never buy anything new. She always buy something on sale. And so when I know she go to a life like this, I say, you know what? This person must be from God. He's kind of from Satan. And so when I decided that, make a long story short, I say to God, Lord, I must and I have to translate the book Great Controversy in Vietnamese. Even though I don't know Vietnamese very well. But I'm committed to that. But you know what? After I graduate, come to this very church, and a few years later, I met this couple, Pastor Tan and his wife. They are working on that book. I said, praise the Lord. And since then, they work on it, and I still work, try to edit that, and I said, you know, we need to fix a few things here and there. And we work for many, many years. And while, as I'm sharing to this, you know, I have goosebumps here a bit. I brought out many different committee to print this book, and many Vietnamese turned down. This book is not translated correctly. How can you, Pastor Vin, don't know Vietnamese and you edit this book? This lady is rooted back in Catholic Church. Can we trust her translation? I probably tell you more than you really need to know. But I'm struggling very tough to get this book out. But very end of her life, I tell her, you know, we're going to get this book out. I make sure we proofread one more time from people in Vietnam to make sure that we can use both in the United States and Vietnam. And now we finish and finish laid out, and we're about to print that book. I know it takes a very long time, but I don't want her material to go out well, translate incorrectly. The last thing I want to share with you about this lady related to printing. Never in my life want to do printing work. I didn't come to the church, to the pastor to be printing. That's never in my life. If I want to do, I want to do television. I want to do something new, something big. But God said, you know what? If you want to big, you got to do something small first. So when I come to this church, I start to writing material, which is my Vietnamese very poor, but I ask a few people to edit. Anyway, I did that. My wife, we go to Kinko, we print it, right? 11 by 17, we fold it, and we start writing by hand. I was so poor that I couldn't afford a computer to print out label. We write every address by hand, and we lick every stamp to put in there, like 200-300 to send out. I mean, 200-300 is more, but take me a few days to finish them. You know, it's a lot of work. Well, when school Min, she came here, Mrs. Min, she saw what I'm doing. She said, we need a printing press. I said, what is a printing press? I don't know about printing press. And we decided to pray about it. You know, I share with other people, I want to print better here and there, but I haven't heard a response for several years. But anyway, after we pray, we kneel down in prayer, and we fast in prayer with her and her husband, myself. in that very room where they live, and used to be lived there. And few, only 1 week later, someone called me from Washington State, say, you know what, we have a printing press that we want to give away. Do you still need it? I said, yes, I want it. Praise the Lord. So we sent two young person up there, drive the whole press down here, and we don't know what to do with it. To carry the press, heavy, 2 ton, into a small storage room is a struggle. You know, I never drive a lift. What is that? A lift? Lift? Forklift? Yeah. But we have to drive it, get the thing in. And get the thing in, and take us 6 months to get it running, because they leave it for years. They never tune up, never put oil. We have to work at it. But you know what? We're able to get it running. We're able to print our first Bible study set. We're able to print 30 of them every month to circulate 5,000. We're able to print the Daniel series. We print so many things in the printing press. And I tell her, thank you for your prayer that all these years we're able to get the printing going. But I did not tell her that we have given that printing press away. We start moving to digital now. And so that's why we remodel the room. We buy 2 big copy machines to be able to print books now. And we do it much quicker and much easier and cheaper. And so with the printing work that the Lord had placed in her heart and my heart, to get the material going. So what did she leave behind? She left behind so many material that I can print them and bind the book to circulate. What she left behind? She left behind an example of witnessing to people whoever we come across. What she left behind is a health message. Some of you don't know that. The health message, I have to say, it is start from her. She is not a first She's a first generation Adventist. She just came to Adventist later in her life. But no one else I compare to her to keep up exactly the health message according to the spirit prophecy. Amazing. Word for her helped me to believe in the health message. And so she left many things behind, and I shared only a few things with you. And I ask you, what are you doing now and in the future, that you can leave something behind, that those people come across whatever you left, your character, your book, your witnessing, that they may come close to Christ. That's what God called each one of us to do. Do not run the race by yourself. Do not do something great. But I ask you even more, leave some of that behind. Leave some of that behind. And so from that lesson, I learned it's not only a pastor, but what I have experienced, what I have learned, now go to train other people. Because once I'm gone, the question is, who will carry on the work? So who will carry on the work after you leave this place? Who will carry on the work after you move? Who will carry on the work if you decided to move on something else? I hope you think about it. Because I do not want to see God work fall short. You know what I'm talking about? The life of so many people, of you, learn so much, but not leave behind. You got to leave something behind, because the race is continue. When you finish, someone else pick up the race and continue to run with it until everyone in this world know about Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you as you think about the legacy of a missionary.